to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Some years ago, I read of a tragic train wreck. Now, the cause of the accident was that somebody had given incomplete instructions. And the result was that many lives were lost and there was much property damage. Now, this is serious in earthly matters, but how much more in spiritual matters? Is it not obvious that many have an incorrect and incomplete conception of the solemn and sacred things of life? People who are intelligent in many other matters are so ill-informed and indifferent toward New Testament Christianity. So many are not sufficiently impressed with the seriousness of passing into the presence and the judgment of the Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10 and verse 31. And even many who are religious misunderstand the nature of God and consider only one side of his character to the neglect of the other. In our age, people will emphasize the love and the mercy and the grace and the kindness and the goodness of God, and this we should do, but not to the neglect of other characteristics. Now, we have no desire to limit the love and mercy of God toward mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3 and verse 16. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, God is love. And while there is a difference between love and acceptance, we recognize and we appreciate the fact that God loves everybody, even though he does not approve everybody. But are we to think that because God loves us, he will simply overlook our indifference toward him? Can we disrespect his will and be disobedient thereto and still stand in his favor? Are we to think that regardless of our unconcern for truth and what is right, that God is just so magnanimous that he will extend his spiritual blessing to us anyway? It does seem that many people believe that he will. They act so unconcerned about doing the will of the Lord. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Psalm 103. Yes, mercy is extended to all, but all will not profit from it, because they will not obey the conditions that God has given. There are conditions, dear friend, to receiving the benefits of the mercy of God. Some pay no attention to those conditions. Would that include you, dear listener? God loves and hates. That quality of God that enables him to love also enables him to hate. Whoever is capable of mercy is also capable of vengeance and wrath and anger. There are those things that God hates, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. God's wrath has been and can be provoked to hot anger, Judges 2 and verse 14. Vengeance belongs to God, Romans 12 and verse 19. So Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Yes, we want to know his love, but we also need to be aware of his terror. We want his mercy, but not be blinded to his wrath. We bask in his goodness, but we are not immune from his anger. In the Bible, even in the nature that God created, we see demonstrated before us these qualities of God. Now, God created the natural world. Where is the man that cannot see evidence of the goodness of God in the natural world? Consider the provisions for man, all coming from the good earth. Look at the beauties and the grandeur of the heavens. Listen to the songs of the birds. Smell the fragrance of the flowers. Just gaze upon the carpets of the green grass and warm in the rays of the benevolent sun. All this exists by the creation of God. It brightens and it cheers humanity in his sojourn through life. the minerals beneath the earth's surface, the trees on the surface, the animal kingdom, they're all given for man's use, over which God has given man dominion. They speak of the goodness of God. And these things provoke us to think of the softer, gentler, more compassionate side of God. But the same God that created the same nature has another side. Why do we have storm cellars? Because they give us protection and refuge from the ravages of cyclones and tornadoes and hurricanes. Have we not read of entire cities being buried beneath volcanic ash? Are not earthquakes constantly shaking mankind? Floods baptize entire provinces, sweeping everything in their paths to destruction? The lightning splinters the giants of the forest? All these actions of nature provoke within us to see the other side of God that we usually pretend does not even exist. But these things show a sterner and harder side of God. No honest man can read the Scriptures without being impressed with God's goodness, the goodness that leads men to repentance. God is the source of comfort. His is a message of victory for those that come to Him. His Son is the very spring of hope. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That which Christ has done is the manifestation of that immeasurable goodness of God. Christ's death on the cross shows how much God loves us. Christ's resurrection is the assurance of life eternal, for the righteous God will give us that. Of all men that would never minimize the goodness of God would be the Apostle Paul, for he recognized that he had been a recipient of that goodness. He wrote, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should after believe on him to everlasting life." 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16. And yet, it was that same Paul that reminds us of the terror of the Lord. Do we not see that terror demonstrated in the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden? We see it in the cleansing of the world and the flood in the time of Noah. It is unmistakable in the way that Joshua was commanded to deal with Achan after Jericho. And what of Uzzah, who touched the Ark of the Covenant in violation of God's law concerning it? Are we not impressed with what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah because of their vile and wicked ways? All of this stands as testimony, friend, that transgression will receive its recompense. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape indeed, dear friend?" The plain and unvarnished truth is that we shall not escape. The reason behind the warning here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." That's why we need to be warned of the terror of the Lord. Daniel Webster once said, "The most serious proposition that ever challenged my attention is the thought that I must appear before the God of my being and give an account for the deeds that I do while in the body, whether they be good or bad." Now, by writing these inspired words by Paul about the terror of the Lord, Paul was revealing a portion of God's message to man. Paul had taken the glad tidings of salvation wherever he went. At great personal sacrifice, he had traveled so far and so wide to preach the gospel. He had withstood trials, he had suffered physical distress and persecution, all for the same cause of saving souls from the wages of sin. He sought to tell his fellow man of the salvation that God extends through his Son, Jesus Christ. He wanted them to know how much they needed that salvation. For the same reasons, he wanted them to know of the terror of the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he warned, therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You see, friend, the inspired apostle knew that God would recompense. We read, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, and from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4-9. With such warnings, Paul persuaded men. And to what end? It was that they might be saved. In Romans 10, in verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Agrippa once said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul answered, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day will both almost and altogether such as I am accept these bonds. Acts chapter 20. And what was Paul? Paul was a Christian. Paul was prepared. Paul was in Christ. Dear friend, judgment is rushing toward us all as an unstoppable flood. We must concern ourselves when the judgment winds blow and beat upon our house whether it will stand or not, because not every house will stand. Only those who have heard and believed and obeyed the commands of the Lord and served him faithfully have the assurance that all will be well with their souls in the judgment before God. Knowing therefore the testimony in God's book of his wrath, we persuade men to come to Christ. Do that by obeying the gospel in faith and repentance and confession and baptism into Christ that is to be followed by a life of faithfulness. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.